Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's welcome into the program Adam Kaplan from SiriusXM, NFL Insider, to talk a little bit about the draft on Thursday from Nashville. Adam, welcome to the show.
Guys, good to talk to you today.
So, Adam, I'm just going to ask you flat out, do you see any surprises? I know we're still a couple days away from the draft, but do you see any surprises in that first round?
Well, you know, here's what happens, Gerald. And Lester, by the way, we had 20 trades in the first round last year. So sometimes they're just to move up one or two. But I think what happens generally, if players start to drop, those trade calls the teams made, the week before the draft, teams all talk with each other, go, hey, if our player's there, would you be willing to trade out? Those are the type of things that happen. So, for instance, if for some reason Nick Bosa does not go at two to the Niners, that could change everything. That'll ruin a lot of mock drafts. So if that happens, I think you could have some trades up. If certain players, I heard you guys right before I came on, if Christian Wilkins, I don't see it happening. But if he drops into the 20s, I could tell you two teams I know for a fact would take him immediately. Those teams could trade up. I remember another reason why teams trade up, I remember in 2014 I reported at ESPN that the Eagles were going to take Brandon Cooks at their pick. Well, the Saints knew, I don't know how, that the Eagles were going to take him, so they trade up in front of him. Those are the type of the scenarios that we could see happen when players drop or teams know they have to trade up to go get a player so the other team doesn't get him.
You know, we don't know this. Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL Insider, joining us. We don't know this for a fact, but I'm kind of curious about the Falcons at 14. Hugh and I have been guessing all week here. There seems to be a lot of interest in Ed Oliver, so much so that I wonder if the Falcons would trade up and how high they would trade up to get a chance to get him. Would they go as high as number 8 to Detroit to do that, in your opinion?
Yeah, John, I think that he goes in the top 10. I think you have the right area. Although, I think when you talk about Detroit, I think they may go for a tight end. That's something I felt all offseason that they needed, although they do have Jesse James, the former Steeler tight end they added in free agency. But they need probably a better athlete at the position. James, good football player, though, underrated from the Steelers. I think the area where they have to get is the top 10. And then when you look at it, when you look at the teams who are picking the top 10, when you're picking, by the way it works is when you're picking the top 10, you're almost always drafting for need. So you have to look at it. Which teams will be drafting D tackle? Well, the Lions certainly could use one, although they have more of a need at end. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think the Bucs would go there. They could, but I think remember they're changing their scheme to a 34. The Raiders are going to go. Quinnen Williams will go no further than number 4. So I think there's a possibility that Detroit would make some sense. And then they're probably in front of the Falcons at 14. I think the Bengals would be a team that's possible. The Dolphins, certainly. So it's hard to imagine a scenario where he would be there at 14.
Hold up, Adam. And I think John missed this. Are you telling me, because you're telling the story about the team that traded up to find out who the Eagles wanted and took their pick, are you telling me that teams are petty and they will draft guys just because they know another team wants him and they don't want him to have them?
No. What I meant here was that a team like that player and they go, okay, we think they're going to go for him here, so this is the team. Kind of like John was saying, this is probably the team that we're competing against to get the player that we want. So we have to go up and trade up in front of them. That's exactly what I meant.
Oh, because if you were saying something about teams being petty, I was about to say,
figure. No, it's funny because this year there was a running joke that the Eagles trade up in front of the Cowboys to get Dallas Goedert because the Cowboys wanted him because of Jason Witten's retirement. The Cowboys denied that, but they certainly needed a tight end. That was a mistake last year when they did not go get a young tight end.
You know what? That story,
Adam Kaplan.
That story does not surprise me. That if the Eagles did something like that does not surprise me. When you look at the young edge rushers in this draft, who is the young edge rusher that nobody is talking about but they need to be talking about who could potentially sneak into that first round?
I'm going to give you a guy now. I think he goes in the first round, probably the edge of it, Brian Burns of Florida State. Now, I'll tell you this on Brian Burns. big, great speed off the edge, really incredible combine workout. The problem that people have with Brian Burns is, why did he put on so much weight from the end of last season, 15 pounds or more, when he weighed into the at the combine? He was significantly heavier than teams thought, because he was the guy that played in the 220s, and he gets to the combine, and then they see him, and they go, wait a minute, he's in the 240s here. What is going on here? That's a concern, I think, but I'll tell you what, I still think he makes it. His speed off the edge is tremendous. You know, he was playing that position. When you've got speed to burn, and by the way, he's 6'4 and 3 quarters. At the combine, he weighed 249. He did not play anywhere close to that weight, but he's a guy that I think makes it. And not a lot of people are talking about him. I don't know why, but he absolutely is a guy that's going to go late first, early second, who I think will be a surprise to some people at the next level.
Talking with Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL Insider, ahead of the NFL Draft on Thursday. Again, live coverage of Round 1 from Mercedes-Benz Stadium with Mike Conley hosting at 7 o'clock Thursday night. I want to throw a couple of quick questions at you, Adam, if I can. Kyler Murray, sure. number one overall to Arizona. Is that going to happen or no?
I hate to say lock. I've covered this business in 20 years, and things have surprised me. But I was at the combine, and when the Cardinal GM, Steve Keim, said that Josh Rosen is our starter, and then paused and said, for now, that told me all I needed to know. And running that by people around the league, yeah, it's largely expected that Kyler Murray's going at one. Bosa probably at two. But if he does not go at two, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens.
San Francisco at two, New York Jets at three. Rumors floating that they're talking around to other teams. Which is more likely to trade their pick, if either?
Well, the Niners shocked us 2 years ago, and they traded out with the Bears. Remember Mitch Trubisky? I was at that draft in Philly, and that was one of the biggest surprises I could remember. The Jets would like to trade out. They're looking to get more picks. They don't have a lot of them. The Raiders told me that the biggest reason why they, with the Steelers, did not include one of the first four picks is they wanted that maneuverability in the draft to trade up or down if they needed to, because they've got four picks in the first two rounds and four in the first 55. So they're a team that could do just about anything. And I think when you look in the top 10, teams that I think may move, the Niners can move, the Jets can move. The Raiders, it all depends what happens in front of them. Talking to them, they're going heavy defense in this draft. Now, if Kyler Murray did not go at one, folks, that changes everything for the Raiders, I think. I think Kyler Murray would be in play at four, but again, I think he's still going at one. So, John, to answer your question, it's a little bit fluid, but I think you could see some moves. And again, we saw an unprecedented number last year, 20 first-round trades, which is almost hard to believe, but I remember it was kind of fascinating and stunning at the same time.
You know, speaking of the Raiders, I mean, you know, John Gruden, Coach Gruden, sends everybody home because he doesn't trust them. How does that play with the Oakland scouts when you know that the head coach really doesn't trust you? How does that play with those guys?
Yeah, so what happened, Hugh, on Ian Rappaport's report he tweeted it, and I very close to the Raiders, so I did what I guess, I don't know what you call it, a subtweet or whatever. I kind of commented over it. I said, hey, look, this is what's going on here. They're going to be massive changes in their scouting department. And understand this, John Gruden and Mike Mayock, who's the first time he's ever worked in the front office, they inherited this entire scouting staff. They don't, almost all of these people they're not familiar with. And these last draft meetings are very important. This is when, by the way, today and tomorrow is when you present your ideas to the owner. You go, this is kind of what we're going to do. We just want you to be aware of it. And the final draft meetings are here when only certain people are going to know exactly what the Raiders are planning to do at four and throughout the draft. And are you really going to have people, A, who probably will not be with your football team after the draft? I mean, that's kind of the way you look at it. I mean, it's unfortunate. It happens every single year. Mm-hmm. It's really nothing new. But what's fascinating here is, and it's a little different, it's just different because you have two people who really don't know a lot of the people that they're working with. And it's hard to trust people that you don't really know. And it's unfortunate. It's kind of sad that people are going to lose their jobs in a matter of a week. It's just the sad reality of the scouting business.
Adam Kaplan of SiriusXM. Adam, think broadly of the top, say, 30 picks on the board as we know them without assigning them to any team, okay? Just the top 30 guys, either in your projections or CBS or anybody else who has top 30 guys. So the question is, A team in round one is going to choose this player and make a big mistake. Who's that player?
Oh, boy. I'm a little bit – okay, so I've talked to probably a half a dozen offensive coaches, and almost all of them are a little bit concerned about Haskins playing in year one. Let's say whoever takes Haskins, I'm not saying he will not be a good football player. It's always concerning when a guy has only 1 year productivity. And that's kind of what we're looking at here. It's like with Mitch Trubisky. I remember Bill Polian and I getting into it a little bit on the show that I was on, NFL Insiders, and he thought it was ridiculous, quite frankly, that Trubisky would go as high as he did, and he's had mixed results so far, because it's just hard to find a player, that quarterback. There are some, but not many, who've had a lot of success with just one year productivity. So that would be the concern. Look, it's all about projecting, guys. That's what the draft is. There's never any certainty. It's never about the seasons. It's for down the road. But if a team drafts Dwayne Haskins in the first round and he's going to go in the first round, and they're expecting to go in and start year one, I think you got to be careful with those expectations. You got to give guys a little bit of time to develop.
And then I want you to answer our poll question of the day that our fans are answering. Okay, Adam? Our poll question is, if the Falcons stay at 14 and don't move up, of the group that could be available there, and you could pick somebody outside of this group, but Twitter only gives you four, who do the Falcons take at 14? Do they take Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, DeAndre Baker, or Jonah Williams?
Oh, Wilkins, absolutely. He's the best player there. He's a tremendous football player, high character. He's a plug-and-play guy. I mean, then you've got two big-time D-tackles. Although I would tell you, going through the rest of the draft and look at their needs, they've got to add at least one defensive end. The Beasley's got to be more consistent. They need more pass rushers, but that would be a tremendous pick if they could get him.
Oh, there you go. That's what you and I said, Christian Wilkins here. Hey, DeAndre Baker, Greedy Williams, Rock Ya-Sin. Now, maybe they can get the kid from Temple, Rock Ya-Sin, in round two. I'm not sold, Adam, that the Falcons do I trust Isaiah Oliver to be that guy? I'm not sure I do yet. I mean, maybe the Falcons are, and I'm just missing it. Maybe Dan Quinn is. But I think the Falcons have a need at cornerback that they have to address at some point. And when I say some point, that's either the first or second pick.
Yeah, John, I would agree with you. If we're doing a needs board, it's one of my top three needs for the Falcons. I don't think there's any question about it. D-tackle next to Grady Jarrett. There's no doubt about that. Corner, I mean, you could argue now with Alford being released, and Oliver is a second-year player, what else do they really have? You've got to be four deep at corner. They're not even, I would argue, I don't know if they're even three deep right now. So I would say that absolutely, although I think Baker goes early second, late first, and I just think that when you look at it, this is not a playoff team until they improve their defense. Now, with Dan Quinn calling defense, I can't wait to see what he does with it. But offensively, they're going to be great. I wouldn't worry about the offense. They'll have a top-five offense under Dirk Koetter. It's defensively, and obviously they had injuries last season. If they get everyone back healthy and they draft well, then this could be a playoff team. But we've got a little time here to see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Adam. I actually think the Falcons are going to trade up in round two. That's where I think they're going to trade up.
But why round two?
Because I think they're going to go after a cornerback if they can get up into the top five of round two.
Yeah, Baker, yeah, for sure. I think that would be the guy. And the thing is about corner, it's probably just talking to personnel people, it's probably a better safety draft than corner. Not a lot of high-end ones, so you might be right about that.
Adam Kaplan is SiriusXM. Thanks, Adam. Do appreciate your insight.
Guys, thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.